I said earlier that we were talking about cannabis problems and we were talking about cannabis solutions. There's a different type of solution that our next speaker is going to talk about, ewing. This is Don Barnard from Essex.
Right, we've heard a lot of talk this afternoon, or this morning. Now we're going to get a bit disorganised. You get one shot from me, no notes, just odd things. Now, we're talking about options for control. We talk about legalization, decriminalization. I prefer to call it rescheduling. Basically, you've got somebody wants it for medicine, they don't approve to the smoker having it, and vice versa. But basically, when you come to control, talking about it, and someone said logical debates, in 1979, the Institute of Dagblin's done this book, Options for Control. I don't know whether you can get it now, but it's worth reading because we're saying it all over again. But what I would like to sort of look at is another way of controlling that I believe the government has been doing. Those of you who were at the last year's conference will be telling you that you don't have to look to see what's happening in our future. We just have to look at the United States. If you look at the United States, everything our government doggy following it along. We've had the zero tolerance, the just say no's, and all the other crap that's come out. We can hear people justifying it, and all these sorts of things. But whilst this has all been going on, the government has been clandestinely working with employers and encouraging employers to use drugs testing. The police have been doing random roadside tests in trials throughout the country. And we've heard cannabis is like alcohol. Cannabis is taking over from alcohol with impairment and intoxication. Now, this is subjective. To make any comparison between two or evaluation between two substances is subjective. So we have it pinned in our mind, not necessarily everybody here, but the public have it pinned in their mind that cannabis gets you stoned. It's like alcohol. Now, if alcohol, people under the influence of alcohol, cause accidents and death, then likewise, cannabis must do the same. Anybody disagree with that? And thank God for that. Right. Now, why? Basically, the reason that people disagree with it, is it because it doesn't impair you? Or does it impair you? How many people here believe that cannabis causes an impairment of your faculties and your capabilities to drive? We've got one at the back. We've got two, three. I've got four. Come on. All right, let's rephrase it. Okay. Let's rephrase it. How many body here who's just smoked a prime piece of bud like I just have think that they're capable of driving? Fine, we've got a few that think they're capable of driving. Right, so therefore you believe it impairs your capabilities in the majority. So if we take to alcohol now, and there is a big difference. If we test somebody on the side of the road for alcohol, and that test comes up positive above the limits, then that test is positive. You are driving over the limits, and there is a correlation between blood level and alcohol level to say you are impaired under law. So consequently, you go to the NIC, you're nicked, you go to jail. Anybody objects to that?
Yes.
Good one. Each to his own. Now if we look at it from the cannabis point of view, most people here believe in some way that it could impair you. So therefore, why shouldn't we random test people at the side of the road? Thanks very much. Saves me a lot of words. You have no correlation. When the officer stops you on the side of the road, is what's going to happen? And believe you me, it is going to happen. Before I came away yesterday, I got an email saying that Essex Police from the summer are going to start random roadside testing drivers. Scotland is going to do it. But we're not little England. This is an international thing. Australia's just started doing it. Canada's just started doing it. And all North America is doing it. Possibly. Now, what I'm coming round to is that someone just said there is no correlation between blood level and cannabis level. Right? This is fact. So when the officer stops you and he says, I believe you've been drinking, sir, blow in the bag, you come up negative, about 50,000 a year pass that test. He now believes that your driving was erratic or whatever. He says, I believe you've been using other substances, sir. Would you mind looking through this little card I've got here with all these little holes in it? And he will decide from his training that he's going to get over the next few months, from that, whether you've been using certain substances because your eyes are dilated or enlarged or whatever. He will ask you to stand on one foot, possibly. Use the old sobriety test. For those who don't know, it's not quite as old as me. It was sort of make like a teapot, walk down the white line down the middle of the road. If you didn't get run over, you were sober. You know, so really, that is what they're going to do. Now, if that officer now decides that you are impaired, he will arrest you and take you to the police station. Now, I contacted the Home Office and said, hang on, you know there is no correlation between blood level and alcohol level. So what the bloody hell is the point of taking him down to the nick to test him to say, yes, you've been taking cannabis, piss off, because you can't nick him. And they said, no, that's not so. The officer, the arresting officer, will take you to the police station where you will be that test will be taken. If that test comes up positive, it will now become a fingerprint. If the officer and the examining doctor decides that you are impaired, i.e. you're unsteady on your feet, it could be because you're diabetic or whatever, I don't know, but if you're unsteady on your feet and you have now tested positive for cannabis, and they say, well, yeah, possibly, the only reason I can think he's that, he's got dope in his body. They will prosecute, and you will be convicted. It will be just like the old sobriety test. That will be collaborating the officer's suspicion that you were involved in committing this crime. So basically, that's how I see it. You know, I'll probably get pulled a bit of the old bill down here, but never mind. Now, my concern is that we're right for driving. Now let's go into employment. If alcohol causes impairment, then basically, if you go to work drunk, basically, is there any objection to being alcohol tested under suspicion at work? If one of your mates is drunk at work, would you like him to be seen alcohol tested? No one. It's funny, isn't it? And certainly no one wants to see random drugs testing at work, do they? But it's here. Look at your contracts of employment. Just look at them. Every major company in this country at the moment will ask you for a pre-employment test and a random drugs testing. With normally, it is, in the smaller companies, it is instant dismissal. Some of the bigger companies are moving on and saying, we will give you counselling and we will give you treatment, but basically they won't. I've only got 10 minutes. You know, Alan's give. If you look on the form, it says 10 minutes, but I've got 15 because Alec gave me 40 last time and it took 3/4 of an hour. So basically, where we're going from is this: alcohol testing is on the cards. You'll read in the press, why are they concentrating on illicit drugs? What about this dangerous drug, alcohol? But it's not ignored. They are using alcohol to ride in the drugs testing. Most companies now are being encouraged to alcohol test their employers also. I think it was this year, the prison service are all going to be alcohol tested and drugs tested. They will be pre-tested because of their concern of discipline at work, security risks or whatever. The prison service union turned around and said, this is a bloody ridiculous idea. They're going to test us for drugs also. What about the poor bastards? They've been testing for drugs in there, knowing very well they're going to get further punishment. It's good enough to test the cons. You know, test the cons, why not? There are any criminals, aren't they? And that's what we've happened. Now, right at the end of the talk with... I got used to calling you old Eddie. That's that bit of Dutch eye. No, that's that bit of dope I had, Eddie. No, really. Where was I? Yeah. The prison officer, they're going to be tested. Now, basically, this is for discipline and all these sorts of things. But you can't test the con. Now, as Eddie was saying earlier on, he didn't want to see the American scene. Our lawyer friend, he didn't want to see the American scene. It's bloody well here. Our government is using the American system. Testing, control. They have decided proper prohibition just doesn't work. And there's no way they're going to accept legalization don't work. So they're going to Wilson from Pepperdine University in America, who I told the people at the conference last year, his idea is that he must drug test all the cons. They've got, at that time they had 1.7 million people in prison in America. Today they have 2 million. Now, they've got 2 million cons. A vast majority of them are non-violent drug offenders. They've got another probably 500,000 to a million on probation. They want to drug test them all. So basically you now in a situation is test and control. Pass the test, go free. Fail the test, spend more time in jail or go to jail. And that is basically how it's going to work. All this drug testing and treatment orders we've got, special courts from America, they're all coming here and are all being piloted. And in any day soon, the government was going to say to us, gotcha. You either do as you're bloody told or you go to jail, lose your job. They're even talking about drugs with the unemployed. Now, tucked away in 1994 document, Tackling Drugs Together, it's quite a good document produced by the Tories in response to the public's fear of crime and drugs. Now, throughout this document is really everything that's happening today. You can't put a Rizzler between the Tory party and the Labour party's policies on drugs. I am telling you now. I did say you wouldn't get a jointed speech. If you want facts, figures and sort of proof-food stuff, there's a book over the other side for sale. Go and buy that one, you know, because I'm not into that today. I'm into the politics situation with warning you what is looming over you. Basically, it will. If I'm standing here next year and anybody can come back to me and tell me that they have not got a drug and alcohol testing policy in their company, then I'll treat you to the greatest joint you've ever, ever had. Please go away, look at your companies, look at your contracts of employment, and get hold of your union representatives. Because I can tell you now, if they don't very carefully look at what they're doing, it's going to be a litigation nightmare. A litigation nightmare, not for just us, but the employer as well. And if there are any employers here, I would remind you that it is against the law, employment law, to allow somebody to start work or to consume work or to use illicit substances or alcohol whilst carrying out their duties. So therefore, consider this as I go away with this particular one. Somebody has an accident in the duties and carrying out his employment duties for an employer, and he is post-accident tested for cannabis or whatever. If he comes up positive for that, then that employer, if he has not got a drugs policy in place, I believe he would be culpable in that accident because he'd failed in his statutory duty to carry out and protect his workers under the Employment Protection Act. So basically, I've waffled on. I didn't want to come here and give facts and figures. I got stoned. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I hope I haven't bored you, and I hope I've given you a little bit of information. Take care. Be lucky.